Okay, good morning, everybody. We're continuing in Bilvavi. We're on page Yud-Tes. We're discussing how not to confuse arousal, motivation, with building, and to not create, as he calls, a shatnez combination. And we discussed there's two types of arousal. One, in terms of a person who doesn't yet have any type of person who has delusions as to what his priorities are in life and needs to get shaken up, and that has to come from any form that will shake the person up, and there's no real curriculum to that, and the person needs to get shocked into the reality of Hashem, and the main thing that you're looking for is a jolt to the system to get him thinking about changing his life. And that's one type of Hisarus. Now we're on the second type of Hisarus, which we're on the second paragraph on page Yud Tes. Hasuga Sheini Shal Hisarus, the second type of motivation and arousal is Adam Shechai B'Mahalach Shal Avodas Hashem. A person is going in the proper pathway of service of Hashem, and he is building his spiritual structure. Rak Sheba Emtza Haderech Nafla Lav Tardema Kolshi. But in the middle of the path, he gets a little bit of a slumber. And now he's in a situation, that's an expression from the Gemara, which means awake and awake, you know, slumbering and slumbering, awake and awake, mean to say he's awake and not awake at the same time. That's what that expression means. So he's, you know, dozing off a little bit. But he's on the right path. So Adam Kazed Tzarch L'Orakol Pam Mechadosh L'Ham Shechas HaMalach Bahu Asuk. That person needs to arouse himself every time he gets into that slumber, a new arousal to progress on a path that he is in, to get him back on track on the path that he's already in. So there's two different arousals for the person who's not on any path at all and the person who is on a path. Now, HaMahalach Shel Hisaru Zu Shoyna L'Gamri Mehisaru Sarishonah. The path of someone getting that this kind of arousal is totally different to the person than the first arousal that we talked about. Hayisaris arishona, the first type of arousal for the person who has no spiritual game plan, in yana la'ores ha'adam mehav le'asman. The whole concept of that arousal is to wake up the person from the vanities of the time. As we told you a couple days ago, that Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, this is the purpose of the shofar, is to wake a person up. So, person can be totally asleep, and he's totally not focused with correct priorities in Yiddishkeit. So it's there, that jolt is to arouse you. Mehatir dos, and also from the things that are taking up a lot of your time. Veligram lo, and they're meant to cause you, likonis l'mahalach shel avodas Hashem, to get in, to enter into this concept of service of Hashem. So you're totally not into Avodas Hashem. Again, even an Orthodox Jew can be totally not into Avodas Hashem. So that's what this arousal is for. And part of this arousal is to carefully show the person, you know, how foolish is his ways. And therefore, now, again, a lot of these arousals can be God-orientated, and they can be man-initiated. You're bringing a person to speak to a shul, and he has to know what to say to arouse them, that they're not on any path of Avodas Hashem. And so part of that, for example, could be to show the silliness of certain secular values and to mock them, you know, not to humiliate people, but to use some kind of humor, some kind of leitzonus, to make fun of any kind of modern avoda zora that exists in this world, and to shock them out of this delusion, you could make fun of certain secular icons that people devote their life to, and to show you how foolish that is, and that's one way of shocking people into a system. To realize that they have to work on a path of Avodas Hashem. So that's type number one of arousal. Hayisorus bovan asheni, but the second type of arousal is shebe etzam adam kvar chai im olam bor lahechanu holech. This person already lives with a clarity of his lifestyle and where he wants to go. Rak midei pam ein lokach, but sometimes he doesn't have the strength. Hu shochech, he forgets about it. So hayisorus tzricha efo rak lahorid mimenu as hashichacha ulachzir lamahalach shel osa olam banui. So the purpose of this arousal for the person is only to remove, to lower the forgetfulness, and to put him back on the path that he's already working on. Also, hurosa, one that he wants. Ubo haya asuk ad lo mizman, and he was working on it until recently. So there becomes the two differences that are involved here, and they need different arousals. And the purpose of the arousal is different. Now, imadam kfar yatsa mayalam hafrurius. If a person has gone out of the world of earthliness, he's not so surrounded by the mundane and without any kind of game plan. And he doesn't need that first type of arousal to shock you into the system. Umineged, but on the other hand, Olam Shani Bor Od Ein Lo, but that other world is that clear world, he doesn't have it yet. Okay. Chela Godol Medivra Isarushu Shomea Nechser Baham Ikra Muchuvan. In other words, let's say you have a guy who is not on the wrong path, right? But and he's not into foolish things. But he still doesn't, but to have a second clear world, he doesn't have that either. You have people who are sort of in the middle of these two. You know, people who they want to be good and they're dedicated Jews, but they just don't know the game plan. They don't have a clear direction of their game plan. So, you know, they're not foolish people. This could be like really serious Jews. They just don't know what is the game plan. So they hear all kinds of arousals. It's wonderful. But nechsebem ikra mechuvan. But the main goal of the arousal is missing. Whom he's so rare, he's aroused. Ve'ein lo ima lalechas. He has nothing to go with it. He has nowhere to go with that arousal. So he got inspired, right? So I was saying, yes, sir, you know, so I'm sure people got inspired yesterday. So what are they going to do with it? Nothing. You're going to feel bad for a week. That's it. Okay, we got to do something to stop being depressed. That's part of the problem. You experience what we did yesterday, and I'm sure there'll be an array of feelings, and I'm sure one of them is depressed, right? And there'll be all kinds of other yetzaharas that are at work as well. You know, what does it matter? So what do we do? So we got to do something to not be depressed. So let's go on a vacation or something. You know, you got to get out of town. It's too depressing, you know. People dying in the shul. Three people this month, you know. It's too depressing. Just get out of here. Let's get away from it, right? That's one, or whatever. But the point is, yeah, you know, you get an arousal. So now the point is, so where are you in your avodas Hashem? You're on level two. So now, and you kind of fell asleep at level two. So now throw yourself back into level two and get to work. That's exactly what it's supposed to produce. But you know, I would suggest most people, you know, I would hope many of them, I'm sure at that Levaya, there were people who are on the first level that they don't have no idea of what their Yiddishkeit's all about. So hopefully, maybe, you know, that could be a jolt to get them to reevaluate their life. That's something maybe. Then you have people, a lot of frum people there, that want to be good Jews, but they don't have any game plan. They have no game plan. They don't know where they're at. So it's funny. I was, you know, the Beis Yaakov girls were, they had a speech before, and they said they have to work on a couple things. You know, It's all good and fine, but they're missing the point. They said, I think they should work on their lashon hara. They should work on tefillah. I think, you know, they got to work on the plan where they're at. They got to work on their level, and I don't think they teach them this. So that's where the, you know, yeah, so they're going to get into a Lashon Hara program for a couple of weeks, and then you start talking Lashon Hara again. It just, it doesn't work. None of this works. Unless, yeah, there's exceptional people, maybe it does. But you don't have a game plan, so you're aroused, and there's nowhere to go with that arousal. There's nowhere, and a lot of times, the Yetzer Hara could take you in really bad directions with this. If you're not using it in a constructive way, it's definitely going to go into a destructive way. So that's really critical. So moving on, that's what he's saying. We hope, you know, people who are learning this safer, that, you know, you don't need that first type of hisarus. You don't need to be told that, you know, it's important to think about Yiddishkeit seriously, etc., etc. The pathway has to be on the second level. So kol yochid v'yochid, so each and every individual. I'm missing something. Okay. Each and every individual, al menasha vodaso ti amitis, so that his service should be true. Muchrich reishis kol shiyah lo seder penimi vavoda Hashem. It's important, first of all, that there has to be some kind of internal order of avodas Hashem. Meaning to say, you ask yourself the questions. Mahaya reishis, what's the beginning? Mahaya tachlis, what's the goal? Umayamsen, what's the middle? And mahi os in the kudush uoches bokeis, and what is the point that he's working on now? Ulehechen ushof lagia, and where does he want to reach? In other words, to get us back on track, so to speak, and we want to be dealing on this second level, and there could be many who don't yet even have any idea of what this business is. So he's saying there's three questions you have to ask yourself: where's my starting point that I'm at? What's my goal? And where am I right now? And that's a really helpful tool to work on. And I'm just going to give you an example. B'moshel shebedarvah, let's give an example. La'adam yesulam imasora shalavim. There's a ladder with 10 steps. Reishis borlo, the beginning is clear to him. Im eza shliva mitchil alos, which step to start with first. Right? That's clear. You've got to start on the first step. Hadover hasheni, haborlo, the second thing is, that's clear to him, should be, Beza Shliva Hu Amed, which level he's on right now, which step is on now. The third thing should be clear to him, that he wants to climb and reach the 10th step. That's clear. You need to know the three things. If he's missing any one of those three understandings, Haderech einam yusedes karoi. The path is not fundamentally sound. Im hulo yodem hechan matrim. He doesn't know where he's starting from. Ulai hum hischuba medigarvis. Maybe he'll start on the fourth step. If he has no idea where to start from, I'll start on the fourth step. Benosav, in addition, ein kar katachtav. What if there's no ground underneath the ladder? There's no solid ground, let's say. Sof kol sof im lo yikra lo nesu chasam lipo. If he's, at the end of the day, if he doesn't have a miracle, he's going to kill himself. He's going to fall. You have to be on firm ground before you start with the ladder. Right. So that is so obvious. So kamokain, similarly, im ein yodea be'ez shliva oches. If you don't know what level you're on, zehu stam bilbul b'avodas Hashem. All I can say about this is that the person is totally confused in his service to Hashem. He doesn't know what he has to work on. And therefore, he works on things that are not appropriate for his level. There is no alignment between his actions and the service of his heart. The person is not holding in certain areas. So and he says, oh, I'm going to work on this, but that's not really where you're at, because you've been missing three levels before that. So you're going to do a lot of action, you're not going to succeed in that area. V'kach gam v'inyan nekuda shlishi. Similarly, with the third point, imein lo sheifa brur lahechan urotz lagiv. He doesn't have a clear yearning to where he wants to go. Gam hu yodek faral matzarch levod. Even though he knows what he wants to work on. It is work without a goal, without any specific end in mind. So when that happens, he loses the the soul of life, as a yechid al yechidcha, the unity of unity, shall cover us of all service. Let's give an example here. Let's say you know you got to work on your davening. You know your davening isn't where it should be. Fine. So you've got to create a starting point and an end point of where you're at. Where are you right now in your davening? Where would you like to be in your davening? And you have a specific objective in your davening, and now you're working on that specific objective, and that's the point you're on, and that's the one you're going to be focused on, and only focused on that point, and not on any other points when you're davening. Right? So whatever that point is. So let's say, okay, what's my level? My level is, you can give me a lot of examples. My level is, I come to Shacharis. Good. What's the next thing I should do? I should maybe come to Maariv. Okay, if that is the goal, work on that goal. That's what's missing. You're not davening Maariv. Now that necessarily is the goal. Maybe the part, you're not going to Maariv because you're not yet appreciating Shacharis yet. So maybe the goal is, I'm davening Shacharis, but I really don't understand what I'm davening. Okay, then that is the goal. I don't understand what I'm davening, and that is what you're working on next. It could be, I even understand the words. I don't have any feeling that Hashem is there when I'm davening. So you work on that point. You have to know where you're at, what's the goal, what's the first, and then I really have to maybe back up. Maybe where you're at isn't the right place either. Maybe you're on the fifth step, but you never took the first four steps. You know, I'll give a good example of this. When we did the educational service, so there were certain people, and again, it's a very personal type of thing, but there are certain people that really, they were accustomed to davening in a traditional service, but the traditional service was doing nothing for them. It was doing nothing for them. And you could tell, I could tell, you know, that, you know, they're going through the davening really quickly, and they get bored if it takes a little too long, and this and that, and whatever, they're talking during it, whatever, you can tell that they were used to such a thing, but it wasn't really, they really didn't understand what they were doing over there. So the truth of the matter is, those guys, you know, they're sitting in level four, let's say, they're sitting there, but they don't have levels one, two, and three. Like, really didn't have levels one, two, and three. They don't really understand what the goal of davening is. So what they really needed to do was to go to the educational service for about a year or two. Oh no, I can't do that. It's too embarrassing. They'll make me one of those people who don't know anything. They don't know anything. I don't know anything. I'm going to be embarrassed. I can't let down my guard. My people are going to think, oh, he doesn't know how to daven, this and that. So, you know, they would never think of doing that. So what do? They're still sitting in level four and sitting there their whole lives. They'll never get a decent feel out of them for the rest of their lives. And it's convenient. When you leave the shul, you don't have to feel guilty about it. And that's what happens. Then there were other people who said, you know, I've been to traditional service, I know, but I don't know what I'm doing. So they went to the educational service for a couple of years. And now they know what they're doing. Right? So they're not, they're Taka on level four, and they're on level four. Okay, now they still have to work, even when you're going to the educational service. So you're on level four. But within the context of being in a traditional service, now you have to do your own avoda to move yourself up further along that. Okay, now you're in a place to do that. And you can accomplish it. So that's what's so clear. You have to kind of put yourself, where am I now? And the question is this where I belong? My ladder isn't on firm ground. It's not on firm ground at all. You know, you have to have, in tefillah, you have to have some kind of feeling that you're trying to get close to Hashem. You got to really have, that's got to be somewhere. It's got to be one of the earliest steps. One of the earliest steps is, I'm here to get close to Hashem. It's going to be one of the earliest steps. And if you don't have that, you have, unfortunately, too many Orthodox shuls like that where people are not on that step. and you know, not blaming people. It could be, you know, that's the way the schools taught them. That's the way their parents taught them. And they didn't sit down and teach them properly what it's all about. So it just evolved. And they found themselves on that step. Okay. But go back and really reevaluate. Okay, where am I really at? And do I deserve to be there? Am I on firm ground? So those are the kind of questions you have to ask yourself. And now you say, okay, now let's get to a real practical starting place. And now let's get to a practical goal. And now I'll be able to monitor where I'm at in that pursuit of climbing up that spiritual ladder. Yeah. First of all, I wouldn't be so hung up on Ilu Nishmas. People get too hung up on that.
I'm just giving you an example because of what you said about Mace Yaakov. Just going back to that.
Yeah.
So if you would say to a group that has a very deep love, like that, people like that would introspect and think about it. I don't think it was such a bad thing that they did at Mace Yaakov, because basically what they were teaching, these are kids, they're immature, what they were teaching them was it's not the level that it could be, but what they're teaching them is when you're grieving, when you're aroused,
you have to make a Kabbalah.
Do something.
I understand. But if you don't know where you're at,
you're right.
So then your doing is going to ultimately be frustrated. And the more times you get frustrated doing things, you eventually give up trying. That's the problem. We've tried 7 times to improve our Lashon Hara and it's not working. I guess I'll never succeed in it. If you setting yourself, what's the expression? If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Right? That's the expression. You just don't get into a Kabbalah if you don't know where in the blue blazes you're at. It is the most foolish thing to do. The idea is good. You have to make a Kabbalah. Now, girls, let's teach you the steps necessary before you make a Kabbalah. That's the real education they have to get. And they have to sit them down and to say, listen, anytime you make a Kabbalah, you have to know where you should start, where you want to go, where you're at, but you got to know if where you're at is where you're at. And starting a person on a Lashon Hara, you have to first start with concept of Avas Yisrael. You have to start, why is love of Jews important? What about love of Hashem? And all those other things that have to be part of that program. Till you're ready to take, you just can't jump into Lashon Hara. Because there's too much of a taiva to talk Lashon Hara. To take on the Lashon Hara in hand-to-hand combat, I'm not going to speak Lashon Hara again. There are exceptional people that have such strength that no matter what, they're able to get these things done. It's a big minority of people. And usually, those are the ones who probably have Yiras Hashem without realizing how much Yiras Hashem they have. Some people are gifted with that. But most people are not. And most typical Beis Yaakov girl would like to talk Lashon Hara like any other typical person would like to speak Lashon Hara. Right? So now we're going to make a Kabbalah not to for so-and-so's Ilu Neshama. Okay, that'll help you for a few days. But the shock wears off, and life goes back to normal, and the power of wanting to speak to Lashon Hara is very strong, and you're not going to be able to beat it. You're not able to beat it. And you've got to take a step back, and you have to evaluate, where am I holding in my Avodas Hashem in general? And what is more necessary, which Perek Gimel will get to, is called Cheshbon HaNefesh, making a spiritual accounting, being honest. Where are you really? You really don't feel close to Hashem, right? Really, you do things automatic in Yiddish, whatever it is. And to really go through that difficult process of truly defining where you are at, and to now say, am I on the right spot? Or maybe I should regress 3 steps? And let's do real baby things, like getting back to believing in a God. Feeling it. so you could sit down and they could tell them we're going to learn Bilvavi. or anything like that. And because it's such a personal thing, you have to take certain steps that are universals. Last Sefer were universals. You have to deal with universals. Then you get into specifics. So I appreciate that to make a Kabbalah is an amazing thing. It's teaching them something, but it's teaching them, but then they're going to enter an exercise that they will ultimately fail and ultimately feel unsuccessful in. And that's what you're setting yourself up for. That's what the tzaddik is saying here. Don't set yourself up for these failures. That's what you got to be really careful before you start with any Kabbalahs. You can't do a Kabbalah on anything till you know where you're really at. Yeah. Sorry.
I don't particularly agree with you that the Lashon Hara campaign has not been successful. That's the first point.
Okay.
Because I don't think that I'm any different than anybody else in the community.
Okay.
And I think that people, even if people get to the point where they say, I'm not sure if this is Lashon Hara or not before they
right,
say it.
Right, okay.
So it's obviously, this might be Lashon Hara, but at least that's an indication that the information has
might have skewed.
So that's number one. Number two is, and I really do believe that. And I mean, if you thought that presentation was going to draw a line in the sand and nobody was going to say Lashon Hara anymore, that's an unrealistic goal. But I think that
it raised awareness. It raised awareness.
It raised awareness, but every time you open your fridge, if you've got a magnet that is the 10,
But the bottom line is, when a person really wants to speak Lashon Hara, many will continue to speak Lashon Hara.
Of course.
And that,
Okay. So, I think maybe the Pesach example might have gone down the wrong path. But there's nasa v'nishma for a 15-year-old kid also. If the Jewish people, the adults who were given the Torah under the premise of nasa v'nishma, then teaching a 15-year-old kid or a 14-year-old kid. To want to try not to speak Lashon Hara, notwithstanding the understanding of your Bavi, why is that different than how he became Kol Yisrael in the first place?
Well, to my understanding, we became Kol Yisrael in the first place. The first commandment was Anochi Hashem Elokecha, not don't speak Lashon Hara. And the second one is don't have any foreign gods, and the third one is don't say my name in vain. And so those were three big ones before we got into anything else. And more than that, Hashem guided them through a process of belief in Hashem, A, and B, taka, they failed afterwards so terribly.
With God's presence
right
there.
Because they had jumped too far. The answer is there was no other choice. God had no other choice with them at the time. He had no other choice, which is a whole different topic. I mean, that is what the question is. How could they have made so many mistakes after what God did? The question is they were moved too quick, too far. You're going to say, was God not a good educator? God had no choice. They were in critical condition. And if he wouldn't have done this, it would have been the end of them. And it was not, God will be the first to admit, this was not the optimal situation. He was dealing with a critical patient who was going to die on the table. And he had to do quick things to just keep the patient alive. They're going to make a lot of mistakes, and we're going to have to revisit the whole thing. Sometimes, it was critical care. I got to get them out and give them the Torah. If I don't do that, I can't get anywhere with these guys. But that was unusual. They were in Egypt for 210 years. I was going to lose the whole nation. So God had to do critical. God himself says, and I took them out of Egypt too early, and that's why they're going to have to be in exile four more times. Because this whole program is not the way I wanted it to be, said God. But I don't have a choice. The patient is dying, and I got to do something. So the paradigm of the events that happened with the Jews going out of Egypt, it was, as they could say, as good as God could have done with the patient he was dealing with. And that's what God says. The next generation, I can give them the proper education. The next generation that's coming up, the one that wasn't weaned on Egyptian lifestyle, I'm going to have to give them a different program. But if right, if it wasn't, if they, but if they weren't going to Nasa v'Nishma, there'd be nothing of the Jewish people to begin with. It's hard to draw parallels from that event because they don't represent normal development that we would hope to attain, unless you know sometimes you have real critical patience today as well. So again, when you're dealing, that's what I'm saying. When you're dealing in a Beis Yaakov system, I don't mean to pick on Beis Yaakov. Chas v'shalom, I'm not picking on them. I'm saying what would be so wonderful is to say, you know, girls, before we make a Kabbalah, let's all work on Cheshbon HaNefesh first. And they could do that. The girls do whatever you tell them to do. They'll really do whatever you tell them to do. And they say, girls, you know, I don't know, I, you know, we'll bring Rabbi Michalson, and he's going to tell you how to focus on making a Kabbalah.
He's writing a letter.
You know? I'm just saying, he'll tell how to make a Kabbalah. So, but you're right, you know, we got a greater awareness in Lashon Hara, and that's great. And of course, you have to do these things. You can't, I'm not saying I regret what we did in the shul, but I'm saying, but ultimately, the real success you're looking for isn't going to happen until other things are put into place. So you're right, okay, they know about Lashon Hara, and on occasion we'll remember it, and on occasion we'll stop, and you have an awareness of it. Here's the point. We definitely have an intellectual knowledge of that idea. It's there. But at the whole point of the Sefer is, but is it in your heart? Are you feeling it? Right? So, obviously, if you would teach the concept of Lashon Hara to someone with a better grounding in these levels of appreciating Hashem, the message would truly be internalized. You're right. You're right. So the better question you could ask Mitch was: so, Rabbi, we shouldn't learn anything about Torah mitzvahs till we have this whole thing. That would be a more profoundly pointed question. And the truth is that's part of what Nasa v'Nishma is about as well. You know, then we'd wait forever. We'd wait forever. We can't wait forever. So you know, we got to. You know what? You got to put on tefillin even though you don't appreciate putting on tefillin now. And we got to do these things because it's still better than not putting on tefillin. It's still better than not doing these things. But we got to realize, so to speak, there's like two tracks going on at the same time. It should be going at the same time. One is I'm doing the mitzvahs, I don't know why, and just doing them, and that's that. And that's the Nasa. What the real meaning of Nasa v'Nishma, there's many real meanings to it. But one of the real meaning is, Nasa, I'm going to be on a doing track. Nishma, I'm going to go on a track that I'm able to internalize and hear what the message of all this Nasa is all about. And that, so what God did with them, he said, okay, I'm going to put you on, you're going to be on the Nasa track, and boy, are you going to stumble, because it's going to take years till you get to Nishma. That's what the end of Sefer Dvarim says. It's been 40 years till you finally understood what I wanted to tell you. And, you know, and that's what it took. It literally took that long for a person to get to that stage. Then our boim labina. When you're 40 years old, you finally have a few brains in your head, says the Gemara. Right? Because, you know, you're getting a little older, the egos are a little less, whatever. And, you know, all those bits, you now, at age 40, let's review what our Avodas Hashem has been. So you got these two tracks. So, of course, there's the Nasa track. And we make a Lashon Hara campaign, and now people know about Lashon Hara, and they have an idea about Lashon Hara. But the bottom line is that when somebody really does a job on you, you don't care about any of the rules, and you say the Lashon Hara anyway. And that's to be understood. Because what? Because we're lacking that Nishma aspect of what truly is driving all those mitzvos. In a way that, you know, I'm doing the mitzvahs because I really understand why I'm doing these mitzvahs. Because I don't want to hurt my... If we remember, we ended the book on Yiras Hashem, right? And Yiras Hashem, which is the fifth level, means I don't want to do a sin because I don't want to distance my relationship with Hashem. I value it more than anything else. I don't want God to have to send me to Gehenna because I know that means my relationship isn't good. If you're on that, then when you are really tempted to speak Lashon Hara and you really... it's uncontrollable, but you know one thing, my love for God is so much greater than what this guy did to me. And then, well, there's no fight. So that's when it's the Lashon Hara is encased in fertile territory that enables you to follow it. So this is a big job, Mitch. This is, we're not saying this is an easy job. This is a lifetime job. It's a lifetime job. So,
but you said until you're 40 and you strip yourself of some of those things,
Right.
And understanding, you have the understanding, and you strip yourself of some of the ego and some of that stuff. So until then, you're really in the Gnosis stage.
No, again, that was, but you can be trained at a young age clearly to be more sensitive to the concepts of Yiddishkeit over here. You can train young children to have Yiras Hashem in the right way, but it takes a lot of effort. So I'm not, you know, you're raising some good points, and it just brings out a better understanding beyond the text over here, is that we have to always acknowledge there's two tracks we're dealing with, and you have to have two tracks. In other words, it's good you ask the questions, because I don't want people to think, let's only learn this book, let's not learn how to do mitzvahs, let's not learn anything, because what's the point of doing them till we really appreciate why we're doing it? So the point is there's always two tracks. There's other things we learn. I mean, on Sunday I teach halacha. I mean, there are other things that we learn. And you have to know what it is to keep Shabbos. You have to know what muktzah is. You have to know all those things, even though that may not give you the best enjoyment of Shabbos, because you're missing all these other things. If you don't know anything, how could you keep a kosher house? How could you do any of these things? So there's got to be a healthy balance between learning halacha and learning this, so till this will catch up with the halachas that you're learning. And that's what you have to have. Maybe I'm not balancing it enough. I don't know. But that's a good point. Shelley got a question by your raised eyebrows. I can tell when the hand's about to come up.
It's inconsistent to say God has no choice, and we say God controls the universe. He has all the choices. He orchestrated the whole situation. So we can't say, we can't hang our hands on God had no choice, had to do it.
Okay, your question is God had no choice. Here's the point. Hashem can only deal with us based on where we're at. And it was a very fundamental point that Lutzado talked about many, many times. Certainly Hashem runs the show. But it is tempered by the fact that he gives us free will choice. And the way the system can only work is God responds and reacts to our free will choices and to where we put ourselves in our free will choice. So now the Jews, when they were in Egypt, they had a job to do. And God says, let me see what they're going to do now. Well, they really failed in their job. They really did. To a great extent. They barely hung on. And that's what the famous Medrash says. Hashem says, I wish I could have given another 100 makos in Egypt. Then they would really have internalized what it means to have a Hashem. But I can't. Because even while the makos are coming, they're sinking further and further. It's like Chas v'Shalom, a patient that, you know, who you're giving them certain therapies, and the therapies are killing them. You've got to try something else. So Hashem said, if I keep them in Egypt any longer, they will fall. If I, based on what they've done, now of course God can say, I make you into robots to do Havodas Hashem. That God can't do. There's one thing God can't do, and that is to make you love Him. Sincerely. He can make you love Him, but that's not sincere. He can't make you want to be with Him. That He cannot do. You, and to that point, Hashem couldn't force it. And that's what had to happen. He can't make you take those steps in Avodas Hashem. You have to take those steps. So where the Jews were at, based on their free will choices, God says, you know what? Plan A was, they stay in Egypt 400 years. They go right into Eretz Yisrael, Mashiach comes. And that would have been the easiest plan for everybody. But the Jews have to do their part. They didn't do their part. So now, I'm left with Plan B. Plan B means 2,500 years of exile. They're gonna have to go there. So, and it's gonna be a plan with ups and downs because of their choices. But eventually we're going to make it. And as far as God's concerned, with who I'm dealing with and their choices, that's the best I can do. And that's Hashem is limited within the scope of man's free will choice, determining what his outcomes are. God is limited that He has to work with us where we're at. And that's what I mean. He was forced. He was forced based on He can't make a people who are not open to the right Yiras Hashem to give them that program and expect them to succeed. And therefore He has to take them through the circuitous route of Jewish history that we're going on now till we eventually get there.